James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Especially notice verse 8, although our texts are verses 3 through 12, but verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, how important is our speech? For when the apostle here is talking about the tongue and the use of the tongue, he is talking about speech. Whether it be the spoken word or whether it be the written word, it's our communication. How important is our speech? When one goes and hears every Sunday morning the Ten Commandments, we know how wrong it is to steal. We know how wrong it is to commit adultery. But is it perhaps at times when we get to the ninth commandment that we say, well, yeah, we're all guilty of it, but we view it kind of as a respectable sin? If a person steals or if a person commits adultery, let the elders get after them. But what about the one who gossips or slanders or maims with their words in the congregation or in the family, in the home? How important a matter is speech, our speech? You see, James is going on with a theme that he wrote in chapter 2 about a lively faith that works. And now he's going to give practical application. Show your faith, he could say here, by your speech. A tempered speech, a controlled speech. James speaks of the tongue in every chapter of his book. In James 1, we read in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And again in verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain." Chapter 2, verse 12, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Chapter 3 completely deals with the tongue. Chapter 4, verse 11. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law," etc. Chapter 5, verse 12. "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." James is talking about faith that demonstrates itself now in speech. James is not the only one. Go to the book of Proverbs, especially chapters 10 or chapter 12 of Proverbs, over and over, the lips and the tongue of the righteous versus that of the evil. What a power there is in the tongue. What a power there is in our speech, either for good or for evil. And that's why that power has to be controlled. How is it controlled? Why must it be controlled? So under the theme, controlling the tongue, notice the importance of this little member. Notice, second of all, with me, the extent and the depth of its unrighteousness. It's a world of evil. And then thirdly, the wisdom that alone will save us from the sins of the tongue. A little member. What a good creation. Mankind was created in the image of God. That means in humans there is a creaturely reflection of our God. A reflection that was lost through the fall, a reflection that is given to us again in our recreation in Jesus Christ. God thinks, God moves, God speaks, and so do we. God speaks to Himself in the communion of the Trinity, and God speaks to His children, and now God has given us the ability to reflect that so that we are able to speak to Him and we are able to speak to one another. That makes communion possible. Can you imagine a marriage where there is no speaking at all each living in their own world. And we can laugh at it. We see it happening at times driving by. You see two folks living in a home, a husband and a wife sitting on the couch, but not speaking to each other, but they're both got their Facebook open and they're doing their social networking. Social media might be wonderful, but it's also a real danger. Communion of saints takes speech. Communion with God. God speaks to us and we respond in speech, not our own speech, but speech that the Holy Spirit gives to us in His Word. We speak His Word back to Him. So what a beautiful gift. What an important gift. What a powerful gift. Created in the image of God in true righteousness and holiness, knowledge. We know God. And as prophets, priests, and kings, and especially as prophets now, this gift, the tongue, the use of the tongue, speech, that we may speak to our God and we may speak about our God. Speech, a wonderful gift. That which distinguishes us from the lower animals. Yes, we too were created out of the dust of the earth, earthy. But God made us rational, moral creatures that are able to know and respond to Him and will His will and speak His word to Him and speak to one another, blessing one another, edifying one another, comforting one another, admonishing one another. And so James comes in this chapter. He comes to God's people, but God's people who have a sinful nature. He wants to address this topic of the use of our tongues, that is, our speech. And so notice in verses 3 and 4, he brings out two different illustrations, and he grabs our attention right away with it. He says, "Behold, pay attention." Oh, we're ready. "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths." What an illustration of the power of that little bit. By that little bit, man tames that wonderful animal. That animal that is not tamed, very powerful, running wild. But with that bit, that little instrument, man and beast become one, and with just the slightest little touch of the reins, that animal obeys completely the man that rides upon it. What an illustration. A little instrument. What is a bit? And yet it makes all the difference between a wild Mustang and a powerful horse that becomes one with a man, or where a man is able to control a whole team of horses, pulling a wagon or an implement. "Behold," says James, "pay attention. Ships, great ships. On James' day, they perhaps seemed great, whether it be on the Sea of Galilee or whether it be the ships on the Mediterranean. Think a moment of the ships today. Ships that can have all kinds of people on it, ships that can have all kinds of planes on it that are simply a city in themselves. These great ships out there on the sea with the winds blowing and the waves tossing, and yet with a little instrument, the rudder, that great ship is kept stable and is able to harness the wind and the waves even to go a direction. What a difference that little instrument makes on that great ship. So the tongue. Verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member. Don't discard the importance of that bit in the horse's mouth. Don't discount the importance of that rudder on the ship. Don't discount the importance of that little member of the human body, the tongue. The tongue that boasteth many things, great things. What a power for good. When that tongue is controlled and is used for the glory of God. The use of the tongue is all about speech. And we have to reflect now as image bearers our God. God who spoke and things instantly came into being. God who speaks and things continue to be upheld from day to day. God who by His Word redeems sinful humanity. Oh, the power of God's Word, the preached Word. It's the seed of regeneration. Oh, the power of the preached Word. God gathers, builds, and preserves His church. And now we are created with tongues, the use of speech, that we may reflect the power that God influences by His speech, by His Word. Our songs that we sang today. Oh, the beauty of the tongue. Oh, that our lips are able to mouth God's praise. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Have you thanked God lately for the use of your tongue, that you are able to respond to all of His mercies in songs of praise, in humble prayers? God has given us tongues, a little member, that we may use it to acknowledge His goodness, to praise Him. Oh, the use of tongues, so that we may proclaim the good news both as a church through the preaching of the Word, but also individually. As fathers teach their children, and grandpas and grandmas teach their grandchildren. Oh, the use of the tongue that we may speak about God, about His goodness and His greatness and His works. Oh, the blessing of the tongue, so that we may speak to one another. For there is the communion of saints. We're not just a whole bunch of individuals that happen to get together on Sunday morning and again on Sunday evening to hear the Word of God and then each of us going our own way. But we are the body of Christ Jesus, so that we care for one another and we speak words of comfort, of exhortation, at times admonition to one another. Have you thanked God for the use of the tongue so that we may enjoy this communion of saints? Do you use it effectively? Whether it be through the spoken word or whether it be words written down on a card in times of bereavement or sickness. And I know we do. I know we do. We see that in the bulletin again this morning. Thanks for all the cards and thoughts of kindness during difficult times. What a blessing. What a blessing when we may use our words and hearing the Word of God, that we may be trained as God's disciples. What a power for good. What a power for good in our homes. Proverbs 31 says, the husband arises and calls his wife blessed. What a powerful word. Where husbands and wives encourage one another. What a powerful word in the home, where parents teach their children day after day after day. The word used in our Christian schools. Soon the school doors are going to be open. How thankful we can be that we've got Christian schools, good Christian schools, so that the humanists and the public schools don't have to teach our children. But we've got dedicated men and women who study hard in order to train our children from day to day for us. How important is the tongue in our Christian schools, boys and girls on the playground, where you can speak to one another, especially looking for perhaps that young boy or that young girl who doesn't have many friends. And you can speak words of encouragement. There is a song. Many of you boys and girls probably have learned it when you were young. I just sang it when we were in Germany with the grandchildren. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Whether it be as parents in the home, whether it be as teachers in the classroom, whether it be as students to one another. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Always, always we need to ask, what I'm going to say, is it first of all true? Second of all, is it necessary? Thirdly, is it beneficial? And will bring glory to God. Oh, we need to watch our tongues, don't we? For they are a power for good. What a power for good in the church! That's what the church is all about, isn't it? We receive the Word of God and we go forth from here with the Word of God in our hearts. And with that Word of God in our hearts, it's also on our lips to those around us. We are powerful witnesses for Christ Jesus. As we go through those doors, as I said in the prayer, may your fellow workers in the office or in the factory or in the field, may they take note that we've been with Jesus. That comes right from the book of Acts. It was the enemies of the gospel. They took note of the apostles, all of a sudden their boldness and in their speech. These common fishermen, how could they speak? How could they preach like they did? These men had been with Jesus. And that's us today. You and me. And as we go through these doors, may we not bless the Lord today with our lips and then going forth and curse men tomorrow. But by our speech, used for good, may the world that we work with, they might not like our religion at all. They might not like the Protestant Reformed churches, but may they take note. These folks are different. They've been with Jesus. But now with that very positive thing. Powerful when controlled, like the bit in a horse's mouth, or like the rudder on the ship, so that even the winds and the seas serve the good purpose of direction. James goes on, and he says, the tongue, a little member, boasteth great things. The tongue's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So that the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the whole course of nature and is set on fire of hell. God created us good. God gave us tongues. He gave us speech so that we could speak to Him and we could speak about Him. But now something happened. By the fall of Adam and our depravity, by nature sinners, our speech is sinful. Not only the sinful world out there that doesn't know God has sinful speech, but you and I who have been born again, we still have that old sinful nature within, don't we? Satan used lying lips, sinful speech, to lure our first father and mother into sin, didn't he? Did God say, no, that won't happen at all? And that same Satan now works evil thoughts in our hearts and brings it to our consciousness with our lips, and we express it. Yes, the tongue boasts great things. In that verse, it's talking about the underlying pride there. Whether it be the pride of Satan, or whether it be the pride of Adam and Eve, or whether it be the pride of the foolish man in Jesus' parable, who said, I will build bigger barns and better barns, and then I'll say, soul, you're all set. You see, that little member directs the whole body from what's within the heart. We start talking, we start reasoning with ourselves, and we say, yes, I'm going to go that direction. We say to ourselves, our speech is, well, looking a little pornographic material, that won't hurt, and just a peek here or there, and we convince ourselves it's okay, we have to know what the evil is after all. Or it really won't hurt if I take this, or if it won't really hurt if I talk about this or that person. Oh, the little instrument boasteth many things. The tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, an evil power within. A tongue that hurts us, used by Satan to lead us into temptations, to go with a sinful way, but also to hurt others. Lord's Day 43 speaks of the sins of the tongue, and it says they are the proper works of the devil. Don't underestimate that little muscle in your body, a little member, but oh, the extent of its destructive power. How powerful is that little tongue? A couple of illustrations again given. Oh, James surely learned from his brother Jesus, didn't he? Jesus, who was a master at seeing in earthly things spiritual principles. And James takes all these illustrations. He's going to drive home his points. A little member, whether it be the horse or the ship. And now the deadly iniquity of the tongue, a little fire. It was in the news again this week, wasn't it? A fire raging, burning down thousands and thousands of acres. Was it a careless spark from a match? Or from a cigarette thrown away? Or from a campfire? Just a spark. And thousands of acres burning. So words. So speech. It's like a deadly poison. You don't need a lot of poison. Just a drop or two will do the purpose, won't it? And so it doesn't have to be long speeches that we make, but just a word dropped here or a word dropped there. What a fire it can kindle in the home or in the church or amongst the nations. Peace ruined. A reputation quickly blackened. A friendship suddenly embittered. A mind poisoned. A life blasted. An unkind word from a parent or from a teacher to a student, and they feel like giving up. A mean word of a student to another student, and a child might feel hopeless, desiring to commit a horrible sin of suicide. Just a word, like a spark, and yet a great fire. A second illustration. The tongue, verse 8, can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. And immediately we think of the snake or the asp with poison underneath its tongue. Just one strike. Makes us think of the father of lies, the devil, who was cursed and sliding on his belly. The use of the tongue. Created, given to us so that we can do so much good, can do so much evil. Proverbs 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. That's not only for the ungodly. Yes, Psalm 106 is talking about the ungodly there, but that's also true of us by nature, isn't it? Our tongues, rather than blessing, are cursing. Oh, what poison can be in words, just a couple words. A couple words from the pulpit in 1953. And suddenly churches split with heresy. A conditional covenant. Just a couple words. Spoken in anger. And a marriage threatened. Just a couple words spoken in bitterness. And suddenly those who were friends not talking to each other, or a family divided, refusing to see each other. A couple words spoken in mockery. Oh, usually covered over as a joke. But it zings, doesn't it? It zings so that the person mocked has no feeling of importance or any good. Just a few words of temptation enticing. and another person led into a horrible life. Just a few words, impure jokes, and hearts suddenly luring and tempted into sexuality. How easy we bring with our tongues shame to our God, to our faith. How easy we bring trouble to our marriages. Hurt young people. Do you know it at times? We all love our children. Of course we love our children. But all of a sudden we're tired at the end of the day. Something didn't go right. And who do we take our anger out on? Isn't it that wife that we come home to? Or isn't it the children that are around the table that perhaps are making too much noise? And we call them a nasty name. Or we say that horrible word, shut up. May that word not be on our lips. What damage. These tongues that ought to bring glory to God, speak of God's goodness, bring hurt, divide, shame. As one reads this chapter, one cannot help but be humbled. We love the Lord. We're together here blessing His name in our worship. But how often, how many times each week, each day, isn't our tongue all of a sudden used to bring hurt? This little joke that we hear. These embittered words. This juicy bit of gossip or slander or backbiting. All originating from the devil, from our sinful hearts, because of pride. Yes, the little tongue boasteth great things. So as we read this chapter, does your faith work? Do you have a lively work? Faith that shows itself practically in one's life. We need to ask, honestly, what does my speech reveal about me in my daily conversations? What does my speech reveal about me in my social media? When other people, young people, when other people read your blogs, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be Facebook, or what other creations are all out there, what do they hear, what do they see about you? What does it say about your faith? What kind of speech are you listening to on that social media and bringing forward? What does my speech, my tongue, do for the glory of God? And what does it do for the building up and the leading others to Christ Jesus? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. The end of this chapter deals with wisdom. Wisdom that is from above. Not the wisdom from down here below. Wisdom down from below says, I may use the tongue whatever way I want. I can tell whatever jokes, I can tell whatever truths or lies I want, and I'll probably get away with it. I'm going to use my tongue to build myself up and to tear others down. That's earthly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Don't be many masters, he says. sit as pupils at the feet of Jesus Christ, your Master. The wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And what is the wisdom from above? We find it in verse 8. God created us with this little member called the tongue, that is speech, which is powerful to do good, but is full of iniquity because of our sinful natures. The wisdom from above is the tongue can no man tame. You can tame all kinds of wild animals so that the horse becomes one with the rider. You can tame the ships on the sea so that we use the winds and the sea to bring us a direction. But the tongue can no man tame. Can no man, not just young people here, but it's us old folks too, all of us. None of us can in our own strength, in our own wisdom, tame our tongues. Job, that saint, who in difficulties was able to say beautiful words, I know my Redeemer liveth, and my flesh I will see him, also said some rather bitter things about his life. Peter, a disciple, one of the closest disciples to Jesus, said some bitter words. He not only denied Jesus with his lips, but he cursed him. Paul, standing before magistrates, Ananias, said some horrible things that he has to take back later on. He called him a whitened sepulcher. Later on, he says, no, you're not supposed to talk that way about your elders, your leaders. Oh, our tongues are powerful. The words, just maybe a couple words that drip out uncontrolled, can do horrible things. No man can tame uncontrolled tongues except by grace. Notice our text says our tongues can't be tamed. That's not what it says. It says no man can tame. We have to look away from ourselves to the only one who can tame our tongues, namely our God. Yes, we need this wisdom from above. The Lord does the impossible. He is able to tame our hearts and then our lips and then our actions, so that our faith is demonstrated in works. The Lord is able to tame and control that tongue that otherwise would speak blasphemies, filthy communication, gossip and slander and anger and venom. The Lord can do it. So we need to go to the Lord and ask Him, help us. What is the source of that evil tongue? Yes, Satan out there, but it is also my sinful heart. And so we need to come with the psalmist in Psalm 51, don't we? Listen to what he says there. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part shalt thou know, cause me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And when God creates that right spirit within us and that clean heart within us, then He says, verse 13, I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We need right hearts, don't we? That's the wisdom from above. I can't control my tongue because I can't control my heart. I need to look to the Lord to do the impossible. Create in me a clean heart, and then I will speak words that are blessing and that are good and honorable and bring glory to God's name. He asks a couple questions here. Can a fountain bring forth both sweet water and bitter or foul water? Gets right down to the matter, doesn't it? The heart. The heart has to be made clean, has to be purified, so that then what is in the heart is expressed with the lips. May it be sweet waters. Boys and girls, do you remember the story of the Israelites when they were brought out of the land of Egypt, and they were just out of the land of Egypt, and they came to the place called Marah. And they came to Marah, and there was bitter water they could not drink, and they complained. And so Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord directs him to a tree that must be cut down and thrown into the water, and it made the water sweet. May that earthly type bring us to the tree on Calvary. The tree that was cut down, that is the Lord Jesus Christ dying there on the cross. It is the death of Christ Jesus that enables us to have sweet waters flowing from this fountain rather than the bitter waters. Oh, the tree of Calvary, where there is forgiveness for our sins of lying and bitter and angry lips and tongues, slanderous, backbiting lips, lying lips. But also the gift of sanctification. The Spirit of Christ not only forgives, but He also sweetens us, making our hearts pure. The words become pure. What about this tongue? James says it is a fire. Verse 6, it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The fire of hell that dwells within us, that needs the fire of Pentecost, doesn't it? Oh, we need the Holy Spirit so that He guides us in the truth, so that we are able to speak the truth in love. That fire of Pentecost came upon a Peter. What a difference it made, didn't it? From lips that only a few days earlier had denied the Lord and cursed the Lord on Pentecost morning, Peter speaks wonderful words, beautiful words, making known all the works of the Lord. We need that fire of Pentecost for our tongue, so that we may go and we may speak to our God beautiful words, but we may go out of here also speaking wonderful words about the work of the Lord for us and in us. How we need that Spirit so that we may speak the truth in love. Or as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, instead of speaking horrible words, neither filthiness, not foolish talking, not jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. I challenge you. God's Word challenges you. Watch your speech. We go forth and we want to entertain, and we speak this, we speak that. Is it bringing glory to God? Is it words that edify, that build up? Or is it filthiness, foolish talking, idle jesting. That's why it's so important, young people, that we learn how to drink responsibly, isn't it? First of all, you may not drink until you're of legal age, but responsibly. For what does drink do? It lowers the inhibitions. It lowers the control of what our tongues say. And that's why, probably why people find it so wonderful. They have a get-together, they want to have booze so that they can talk freely, they can be themselves, be uninhibited. And what a horrible business that is. When we lose control, we don't have control of the tongue and of the actions that result later on. We need the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and then our tongues so that they are controlled by Him and by us to bring forth sweet waters. That's what we're created for. For the glory of God, for the building up, the equipping of one another. That needs to be our prayer then, doesn't it? If we're convicted here by God's Word, the tongue, a little member, given to us by God as a good gift to be used for Him and for one another, a deadly evil because of sin within us, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. Yes, let's pray. As we sang from Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, we've been redeemed, body and soul, with that little instrument, tongue. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, not just on Sunday morning and Sunday evening as I'm sitting together in the church and then I get out of here and then the jokes and the filthy communication and the harsh, angry words. No, not that. Not out of one fountain, two different streams, sweet water and bitter water. I will bless the Lord, not just on Sunday morning and evening, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gift of faith, lively faith, faith that makes a difference in our life, faith that demonstrates itself in our works and in our words. We thank Thee for this instruction by Thy Word so that we may behold the bit in the horse's mouth, we may behold the rudder on the ship, and we may know then how we too must control that little member of our bodies, the tongue. Sanctify Thy Word to us so that we will be emboldened to speak to Thee and about Thee. Sweeten our words. Bring glory to Thy name. Amen. Psalter number 41. Is the versification of Psalm 19. The words which from my mouth proceed, the thoughts within my heart, accept, O Lord, for Thou art my rock and my Redeemer art. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7 of number 41.
Thank you.
able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen.